right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. Teresa Strasser is with us. And I guess it's 97.1 FM talk. I apologize. I get used
12
to
years.
That. I know. I get used 12 to
years.
That. And now they're changing.
You're usually like clockwork.
They're changing it on me now. Sons of bitches. All right. We have a very funny man who I've known for probably about 15 years or so. Robert Schimmel's with us. Nice to see you, man.
Nice to see you, too.
Yeah, look at you, dude. You look great.
Thank you.
With your Soviet jersey on there. Or
you know what? I got it. I never wore it. I thought it looked cool, and then I wore it tonight for the first time. Figured nobody will see me wearing it here.
I feel nervous because I'm Georgian. You're not going to invade me, are you?
All right. But you're looking good, dude.
Thank you.
Now you're,
you too.
Thank you very much. I've known you for, what, 15 years or so? Yeah. Maybe all the way back to Robbie Fox and,
oh my God.
And Billy Ray's pilot in 1994, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah. Look at you.
It's weird seeing you at night. I'm used to seeing you in the morning show, and you always bring us fruit and crudités.
Yeah. Got nothing. Now you got shut
Did
out.
Did I tell you I wanted to stop and bring something over here?
Shut out.
I told her I was going to stop at Canner's. It was the only place coming down the hill. And then I said, you know, these guys probably eat good, because I bring them fruit.
I know.
You know.
I know. You're the only guy who goes to Cantor's and gets fruit.
No. I bring them fruit from
really
like
good
farmer's
fruit.
Market fruit.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, we are excited when he comes in.
We get the jackass from Schimmel. All right. Very good. All right. All right. We at 9 o'clock, and feel free to jump in here, Schimmel, because you're like the funniest man in the world.
Thanks.
We're
no pressure.
Yeah. The news with Gina Grad, everybody.
Now, from the 97.1 newsroom. Here's Gina Grad with the news.
All right, Gina, what's
I'm
going on?
I'm looking forward to this.
Teresa,
yes.
This is
I'm going to interrupt you continuously so you can never recover your train of thought.
Nice job, retard.
God, that'll feel so new and different, right?
What is going on with the news?
Well, first of all, the nation received its first primetime viewing of Brett Favre in a Jets uniform Monday night. Unfortunately for the Jets, they too acted like it was their first time in the presence of the future Hall of Famer. After a week of heavy criticism for conservative play calling, Eric Mangini loosened the reins on Favre, and the result was, well, a 48-29 point loss to the revved up Chargers.
Bad vibes.
Yeah, very bad vibes. Here is some audio of current New York Jet Brett Favre explaining the problems from last week's game.
My guess is he ain't going to blame himself.
I'll tell you what, he's a dynamic speaker, though. Get ready.
Yeah, okay. Never
get your Kleenex.
Never blames himself. Here we go.
You know, we made too many mistakes. Against a good offensive football team like that, they're going to score points. They're going to score points regardless. And we just made too many mistakes. And there's some bright spots. But we got to find a way to eliminate mistakes.
All right. Now, when he says, you know,
hold
we
on,
made,
mistakes are bad, like rape?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm trying to keep
we
it
made
straight.
Too many mistakes.
I think that was a mistake that he told that whole story.
Yeah. I mean,
I thought it was richly hued, Robert. What are you doing?
But aren't there, isn't there, there's nothing left to say about sports anymore that's not a cliche, you know, or, you know, an old saying. You know, good offense takes care of a good
defense.
Come on,
there's no I in sports reporting.
Yeah. There's no me and team. Actually, that's not true. There is a me and team. Yeah. All right, what else is going on there at, in the news, Gina?
Well, former Blink 182 drummer Travis Barker and celebrity disc jockey DJ AM remained in critical but stable condition yesterday with second and third degree burns after a plane crash on Friday, with both expected to make a full recovery.
Wow.
Yes, two of the musicians' close friends and the plane's pilot and co-pilot were killed when a Learjet crashed on takeoff at Columbia Metropolitan Airport in South Carolina. And here we have the very chilling piece of audio where we hear Barker still allegedly on fire calling the 911 operator pleading for an ambulance.
Jesus Christ. I tell you, he's going to get a lot of chicks if he survives this.
Yeah.
Survives a plane crash and calls 911 while
he's going
on fire?
To. He's expected to make a full recovery within a year.
Jesus Christ, man. All right, here we go.
Ambulance, man. We got a guy right here.
Is that it?
Yeah, it's only a few seconds. I played it this morning.
Christ. He's on fire.
See, Teresa's going to back me up on that audio.
Yeah, that's all that's been released. But
that
it
was
is
for everybody
chilling.
That's leaving tomorrow morning on a flight.
Yeah.
Do you get nervous?
I didn't hear anything like that on
I'm
the
I'm not
plane.
A nervous flyer. Are you a nervous flyer?
No, they have a thing called Ativan. And,
yes. You're kidding.
Xanax, Klonopin, yeah.
Yeah.
I just look around me and I think, there's no way God could take that little baby, that priest, you know, those old ladies. There's no way we're all going down.
Yeah. See, I look at it completely differently. I think, boy, they're going to get it because I'm on. I saw two anxiety attacks on flights. One from L.A. to Phoenix. This is no lie. We're taxiing down the runway, and all of a sudden this lady in the back jumps up, and she goes, I'm having a heart attack. Stop the plane. And, like, really grabbing her chest. So they said, maybe it's an anxiety attack. No, this is it for real. I'm dying. And she was a stewardess on the flight.
Oh, God.
So they take her back to the gate. We got to stop and go back to the gate. And as soon as we get to the gate, she said, I'm okay now. And they took her off. And when we took off, the pilot said, she won't be working for us by the time we reach cruising altitude.
Yeah, it seems
you can't
like
flip like that.
Anxiety about flying would be an occupational hazard.
Oh, yeah.
Stewardess.
But have you ever been in a close call on a plane?
Yes.
Yeah, I have too, man. It's scary. I was in Denver. And we were taking off, and it was one of those planes that has the engines in the back. They're right near the back windows. There's about 100 people on the plane taking off. The wheels come up. He slams it back down and says there's a fire in the rear right engine. And I look out to see where that engine is, and it's right next to me.
Oh.
And so I said, F it. So I get up, and I run up to first class, and I said, if that engine explodes, I ain't dying in this thing. So we pull back up to the gate. And I said, I'm getting off this flight. And she said, no, nobody get off. We're going to see if we can fix this, and then we'll take off.
Yeah, I
said,
I love when
no,
they
ma'am.
Do that.
No,
I said,
ma'am.
I'm not getting taken off with you guys. I'm going to take another flight. And they said, well, you can't open that door. I said, you guys showed me how to do it before we took off.
Right. I paid attention when I was supposed to. Now hand me those warm nuts and let me out.
you pointed where they are, and you showed me how to do it.
Yeah, I that's happened a couple times where they go, the brake fluid leaked out of the plane, but they're going to put it back in, and we'll be ready to take off. It's like, people get up and they go, we don't want to be on this flight anymore.
Yeah, no, I know. They freak out. There was a guy, we were on another flight going from Los Angeles to New York, and there was a delay. And so we have to have a mechanic come on to fix a problem. And the guy comes on with a roll of duct tape.
Fixes anything.
And he walks all the way down the aisle with a roll of duct tape, you know, fixes something and takes off. Everybody sees the duct tape that the guy comes out.
That engenders confidence.
Yeah, he couldn't have stuck it in a work case or in a briefcase or something. And everybody panicked all the way to New York. Every time you heard something, it's like, oh, babo.
Well, they think that you're stupid because it doesn't matter if they are duct taping the actual wing back on. They'll always say, we're not pushing back yet because of a broken tray table. Because apparently that's the only thing that ever goes wrong on a plane.
Right,
and actually flying here today, I had kind of a creepy thing happen. They bumped me to another flight, but just the lady that takes your boarding pass and scans it. And it wasn't making the right scanning noise. And she kept trying to push it through. And I was like, oh, ma'am, you know what? I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong plane. Mine's in an hour. It's cool. I'll totally wait. She said, no, we'll get you on. I was like, no, it's okay. My ride is, it's okay. She pushes it through, right, like click, 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 click on her little keyboard, hands me back the boarding pass and goes, it's better this way.
What?
I don't know what that meant, but I thanked her and I got on the plane.
Wow, Jesus, I've had that happen to
Christ.
Me where I
don't know.
To fly to San Francisco and I get to LAX and I'm tired and you know how they have the two gates that are like together?
Right.
And they didn't even look at my boarding pass. The guy just takes it and says, thanks, have a nice day. And then I'm sleeping on the plane. And then they said, welcome to, I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was on the wrong flight. I'm not kidding.
I've done the same thing.
And I got off, and I'm like, what? I got to be in San Francisco for this day. And they said, well, why'd you take this plane? Yeah,
Why didn't you stop me? Yeah.
How'd you let me on here without a ticket?
I actually said possibly the stupidest thing I've ever said in my life. I was trying to fly to Chicago, and there was a layover, and I napped on through. Apparently, this plane was headed for JFK. And so when I came to, I looked out the window. I was only 18. I'd really not been out of California. And I was going to look at Northwestern to see if I wanted to go to college there. And so they were flying me out. And so I look out the window and I see the Statue of Liberty, which I've also never seen before. And I turn to the person next to me, who, thank God, thought I was making an ironic comment. And I said, they have a Statue of Liberty here, too. She's like, then I realized, there can't be another Statue of Liberty. This must be New York City.
Well, there could be. It was probably a Persian's front yard.
Just a garish lawn decoration.
It was plaster of Paris.
I love that. I'm Persian. Really? Yeah. You mean Iranian in denial? There is no Persia.
I remember when that happened.
There isn't Persia anymore.
Yeah. During the hostage crisis, everyone became Persian.
Yeah. Teresa Strauss was with us. Also, Robert Schimmel. I was, this is about 15 years ago, and I never have gotten high while I was flying. But I wanted to experience that. So I was flying a flight. I was on a DC-10 in New York. And I got really stoned before I got on the flight. And I get on the flight, and I'm freaking out now, you know, because I get that way on weed. And I look up, and as we're taking off, the luggage racks are shaking, right? On a DC-10, everything shakes. So I put my hand up to try to stop that from happening, and it stops. So now I figure, I'm the only guy keeping this plane together.
I've got the power.
From here to New York. So the stewardess come by and goes, can I help you? I said, no. She goes, well, I saw your hand up. I said, you're going to see it up quite for a lot of this trip. But I'm
Almighty.
Cool. And then all of a sudden I get like a superiority complex. Like, yeah, you want to see this plane go down? You know, because I have the power. I can let go of this luggage rack. The 5 hours with my arm up on the luggage rack. Because I thought if I didn't hold that thing, man, we're going down.
So that turned out to be an excellent idea to get high before flying. Yeah.
You know, I don't know how anybody could do that.
I can't.
The minute they would close the door and you'd hear the air seal go, then you go, I can't get out no matter what.
Oh,
and then
God.
That's it.
Yeah, then you're stuck.
All right,
what else is going on in that news there, Gina?
You mean besides the fact that I can't sit in a window seat because I'm afraid if I fall asleep, that whole wall of the plane will crash? Well, let's see what else is going on. In political news, Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama held a rally recently, but instead of pontificating about change, as he likes to do, he took this opportunity to warn people about the dangers of a McCain White House.
Wow. All right, here we go. Obama, everybody.
After 26 years in Washington, years where he voted for the same trickle-down, on-your-own policies that got us into this mess. You remember this. George Bush called it the ownership society. Lose your job, you're on your own. Don't have health care, you're on your own. Can't afford college, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you're on your own. John McCain voted for those laws and those policies again and again and again, and he now claims that he's the one who can clean it all up.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on.
26 years.
Hold on. Let's listen to this part of it right here. See if we can stomach this.
Can't afford college, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you're on your own.
Something to be said for that.
Yeah.
Can't afford a Mercedes? Get yourself a Ford, you know?
Yeah, can't pay for it? Don't buy it.
Yeah. You can't pay for college? Tell mom and dad they're a-holes or try to get yourself a loan.
Yeah.
But please.
I think that they should make like a pair of flip-flops and have McCain's face on one and Obama on the other. Because they change their mind every day.
Deregulation's great. No, it's bad. No, it's good. No, it's bad.
Yeah, it is
constantly.
Amazing.
I mean, I've seen guys actually change their answer in the same interview.
Oh, yeah.
They're going, yes, I believe in this, I believe in that. Well, then you'd sign that, right? No. And you're like, what? Wait a minute. Can we go back like 2 minutes?
Listen, all I know is I saw Susie Orman on Oprah, and she told us the financial apocalypse was coming and to get our affairs in order. And now I'm terrified. And that probably led to my meltdown today.
Yes.
She freaked me out. There's going to be no credit to buy a car or to go to college or to buy a home.
So everyone go out and get guns now.
Yeah, but you know what?
Take your money out of the bank if it's not FDIC insured.
Yeah, they keep sending, you know, I don't have great credit, but my wife does. And...
That sounds like a commercial.
It really does.
I don't have great credit, but my wife does.
What's next? What are you selling me? I'm buying it.
You know, the credit crunch.
I'm Jim Conway.
This happens to me a lot. I get a pre-approved credit card in the mail, right? And I fill it out or I call American Express and go, hey, I'm pre-approved. Send the card. They say, what's your Social Security number? I give it to them. And they come back on 2 minutes later. Mm-mm. It's not going to work out.
Pass.
It's not going to happen.
I got one like that. I think it was from the Bank of Hoven. Or whatever it is, you're pre-approved, and then you know, but you got to put the money you want to charge in the bank for them to hold,
right?
While you're charging, well, then why not just use that money to buy the stuff with?
I remember having a credit card when I was just out of college, and they only give you like $200 credit, but they fee you to death. There's a monthly fee, an annual fee, a late fee, all that stuff, and I never used it, and I was maxed out. I maxed the card out by just never using it. After like a year, it was maxed out. They called me up and go, you're over your limit. I said, I've never used the thing. I said, you know, it's just, you know, all these, you feed me to death, and we got it, you know, came to $200. And that's how they get you, man. They're going to nail you. But anyway, my wife gets these pre-approved credit cards, and they send her like a $25,000 credit card. And she signs it, and they send her the card for 25 grand. Mm. I get nothing. I get the, you know, they called me up from Delta Airlines. You know, you want a credit card? I said, yeah, sure. Then they sent me a reason, three reasons why I didn't get it, you know, in the mail.
That's just humiliating. That's really, they offer it to you just to shame you?
I know. But, you know, it's like that. I'm sure this has happened to you guys as well. But when you're in like a Sears or I don't know where you shop. You may shop at May Company.
Obviously,
whatever.
Forever 21.
Yeah, Forever 21. You bet. But when you go to use a credit card and they say it's declined, I start sweating immediately. Even though I know there's money in there, everyone in line thinks I'm an a-hole.
Yeah.
Or they send you to the credit department, right? And that walk to the credit department, especially if you got kids, you know, it's the longest walk in the world, man.
Walk of shame.
Why are we going down there, Daddy? Because your mommy doesn't know how to say no.
All right. What else is going on in that news there, Gina?
Thank God I'm liquid.
Yes.
Well, finally, in entertainment news, movie star and rehab princess Lindsay Lohan called into the sex talk show Loveline this past Sunday and opened up to host Stryker about her relationship with girlfriend Samantha Ronson. And here's a clip from that call.
All right. Here we go. Stryker and Lindsay Lohan.
Hey, that's Lindsay Lohan on Loveline. I'm Stryker. Dr. Drew was on earlier, who was sick at home. Dr. Bruce is filling in. And what's your plan the rest of the night? You going to watch your girl spin at that TV guide party and watch The Bravery?
I'm here to support, and I love The Bravery, so.
Yeah, they're awesome. Now, you and Samantha have been going out for how long now? Like 2 years? 1 year? 5 months? 2 months?
A long, very long time.
Well, good. Well, I hope you guys stay together. You're a very lovely-looking couple.
Thank you very much.
Lesbians.
Yeah, no one says that about two guys.
No.
You look like a really nice couple.
I do, sometimes. Yeah. Well, also, I don't know if you guys heard this, but apparently Clay Aiken is gay.
No.
What?
Yeah, apparently it's going to be on the cover of People magazine. Big him and his baby, big headline, I'm gay.
Oh, I'm giving back my news reporter card because I did not see that coming.
Jesus Christ.
Well, that's because he didn't see the extortion letter that he got.
Yeah.
Well.
Come out by noon or else.
Clay Aiken.
Or I'll play a tape and you won't have to say anything.
That's really the only way you can get in the news now, right?
Rehab.
Yeah.
So that works.
I remember when Rock Hudson was on Life Magazine or Time Magazine, kissing Linda Evans. Remember that? And that he was HIV positive.
And they were
afraid that he didn't tell anybody that, you know, he had that. And I said, can you believe it? To my mom. I said, Rock Hudson's gay? And she goes, oh, yeah, I knew it all the time.
Really?
And I said, Liberace, too. She said, no, he wasn't. And I said, Liberace was. She said, Bob, it's show business. He's just flamboyant.
Yeah. I think everybody who is heterosexual is in the minority now. I think most people in show business have hit that stick once or twice. Don't you think?
The stick?
Don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get out my Tim to English dictionary.
Oh, yeah.
Teresa, the stick.
The wiener.
Yeah, the wiener.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. They've hit the stick.
Fantastic. Yeah.
So you're talking about men.
Some guys like that stick, yeah.
Yeah.
Some guys do, you know. I don't know.
Hey, you know what?
But, you know, I want to ask you this, because I've never got a straight answer from anybody. I know you're not a gay guy, but do you think that farting is introduced earlier in a gay relationship than a heterosexual relationship?
That's a decent question, but how would he know?
I don't know. I'm sure you got friends that are gay.
That I fart around?
Or that you inquire after their gas
habits? Hey, Joey,
habits?
How you doing? Hey, you gay? No, I ate beans for lunch. What do you mean, gay?
No, but I mean, if two guys are having dinner, they're starting a date, right? They met on gaymatch.com or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, definitely women really know how to hide that stuff until way after you're married.
Oh, I know, yeah.
My wife's never passed gas until, you know, I was locked in the 50% club. But before that, I would think she never farted ever in her life. I just never saw it.
Did she blast away?
No, I've told my husband that I excrete waste like a frog. It's just through my skin. I don't go ever.
Oh, really?
He doesn't need to know anything about type of bathroom habits.
Nice picture, everyone out there that's listening.
Now, the key to a happy relationship, and I hope this happens in your house, too, you have to have at least two toilets.
We only have one.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I know.
Is that right?
Everyone says you're supposed to have two.
Oh, you're gonna get divorced with one.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a good vibe, especially if somebody's not really on a health food kick.
I see.
You know?
I see. Or if they are, can be
or,
worse.
Or yeah, maybe, you know maybe what I mean? Two. But you know, you also can't
have... You know where
have,
that Nature Mart is.
I do. Yeah. I live right across the street. Yeah.
When you got at least two toilets in the house, you can, you know, read the newspaper. But when you got one in that house, you're rocking the
You know, I think we avoid
duty.
This trouble because we're on different schedules. I'm up at 4 and gone, and you know what I mean? We're on completely different work schedules. So he has a bathroom to himself.
Yeah, but do you ever, I mean, can if he's taking a shower, could you slide in there?
I don't excrete waste. I don't know how many times I have to tell you, Tim.
As Sarah Silverman said once, oh, sure, maybe I tinkle like an adorable puppy or a pretty ballerina. But other than that, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's it.
All right. All right. Anything else going on in the news there, Gino?
That's what's going on.
All right.
That's
the news it? With Gina Grad, everybody.
The news with Gina Grad.
You know, say what you will about Michael Bolton, the man can write a song.
Give us 8.5 minutes, and we'll fill it with words.
All right, we got to take a break here. I'd like to thank Teresa Strasser for coming in. Always nice to see you, baby.
Thank you for having me.
And Robert Schimmel will stay with us.
I will. I'll see you on Thursday morning.
Oh, good.
You're coming in Thursday for Corolla Show,
for
right?
Corolla, yeah. Well, I was just telling her outside that I just performed in Vegas. And I met Jimmy Kimmel's sister, and she is such a sweetheart. Oh, my God.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Starting to do stand-up, and she's got some really... She's got his sense of humor.
How old is she?
I would say early 30s,
Did
maybe.
Did you see his special on Sunday? The
no.
The Barbara Walters type special? One of the funniest
Miami.
Things I've ever seen
great.
On TV.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
he's really funny anyway.
All right, Robert Schimmel is with us. Thank you, Teresa Strasser. You can hear it tomorrow at 5 a.m. on the Corolla Show. And you're listening to the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk.